Welcome to the Quick Stop Entertainment QuickCast series featuring filmmaker Terry Gilliam. Part 7.
What was your response when you received the open letter from Sarah Polley?
Well, I actually was... I knew that she had been making statements in the press about her having been taken advantage of or abused. I'm not sure what word was used, but one of those kinds of words. The implication was that we took advantage of her as a child. And I just wrote her back saying, I think your memory is just wrong, Sarah, because you were so vital to this thing. The last thing I would do is either put you in danger. It may have seemed to you that, you know, those explosions were dangerous. They weren't. And I said, and also at the time, we all felt you were the most mature person on the set. You were the one that knew her lines and knew her marks. It was always there. And if there had been a moment when we felt you were in danger or were having a terrible time, you know, that we would have dealt with that immediately. And so I said, I think it's your memory. And she actually wrote back saying, well, in many ways, it was her blaming her parents for a lot of things, and she didn't hold me responsible for a lot of the things she was feeling. So that's very sweet.
I mean, do you feel almost blindsided when that came out?
Not really. I mean, because I'd heard about it before. I'd heard she'd said things. So, and I don't... I said, well, I just say, oh, come on, grow up. Get on with it. And it's... and it was great. Anyway, we did meet, and she said, you know, she was... A lot of it, she felt her childhood had been, you know, stolen by her parents, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like Michael Jackson, but she was wanted to be an actress. That's all she wanted to be. And I don't know what you do when you've got somebody who's so good at it and so happy doing it, and then years later looks back and thinks, oh, why didn't I have a normal childhood like everybody else?
I mean, certainly you've used your fair share of child actors.
It is pretty weird, isn't it, how many actors? I mean, especially two young Canadian girls. Both Sarah and Jodelle are incredible. I'm going blank about who played Kevin in Time Bandits, but he didn't go on to be a movie star.
What is he doing at this point? Because I know you reunited with him for the DVD.
He was a musician then, and
Craig Warnock.
Yeah, Craig Warnock. Yeah, and he just got older, and I think. That's what's always worrisome. It's one of the things we kept saying about Jodelle when we were making this film is she ever going to have such an extraordinary experience again where she is the film? Or is this going to be a high point for her? And she can look back and say, well, life never was as good as that again. But it doesn't seem that way because I saw her in Japan and she was promoting Silent Hill. And she had a wonderful time on that. But I do know that, you know, she was so delighted to see me again, you know, because her parents are separated and there's no real father there. So I guess I've assumed a bit of that role. And also the director of Silent Hill, I think, took part of that job as well.
I mean, do you ever envision acting? I mean, you know, is it almost like going back? I mean, who do you envision doing another film with Sarah Polley, let's say? Or Craig Warnock, who, according to he has an official site, by the way.
Does he?
Yes.
Yes, I better.
Looks like
he's claiming to be now a musician. Or
no, actually, looks like he's an actor again. He was just in Cinderella Man.
Oh, good for him. Because that's very interesting. It's where we did meet. He felt he was slightly lost. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do anymore. Well, that's good that he stayed with it. Because it was his brother who was the actor when we first met, because he just came along with his brother who was being sent for the audition, and he intrigued me because his brother was being, you know, like a child actor, and Craig wasn't behaving like that. It's kind of like, you know, Jodelle didn't behave like a child actress, where the other little girls I was meeting did. And it's intriguing. Sarah Polley was a similar thing. There's the ones that somehow have their parents pressing them forward to do and be something that they don't necessarily feel comfortable. And they develop all these, you know, these cute little skills that are supposed to win your love and attention. And when I see that, I just, you know, look the other way. I don't want to know about that.
What are the signs that tip you off that you're seeing someone whose heart is not in it like that?
Well, it's just that they're doing things that I've seen before. They seem to be a little bit too cute, too bright. writes, "Hi, my name's so and so. Hi, I'm interested in this, that," and you think, "Oh, Jesus, he's a trained, you know, rat here," and you just sort of smell it very quickly. It may just be my own perverseness that there's obvious. There's Dakota Fanning, and I don't hire Dakota Fanning. I hired the girl next door. Nobody else is doing it.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that, and also, when you hire children who have the maturity of adults.
That's what's weird about it, but I think that's part of, I suppose, it's a weird quality you're looking for, because you need that to get through the making of the film. And
I mean, not just that, but they're also the character, the child characters you write,
yeah,
tend to be adult, you know, more responsible than the adults.
Well, because I think I believe that. I mean, maybe this is the big lie that I'm perpetrating. That they are, but I think they are. I think I've said it. I'm so fed up with this victimization of children and the children are, you know, I just read Jerry Hall now. Her father apparently was an angry, dangerous man, and she lived in fear. Oh, Jesus, get off it. And that suddenly is new. So that's not even child abuse. So she didn't even say that he did anything to her. But she lived in fear.
Yeah.
That was the important thing. And I'm so tired of this. That's what I'm reacting to as much as anything. Not that there isn't child abuse and there's awful things that do happen, but it's just a small bit of the truth out there.
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, the kind of carrot that's dangled in front of all of the child characters that you have so far portrayed is sort of the fact that, you know, these are the skills that get you out of the situation you're in.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't imagine Kevin before his adventure being able to cope, you know, in a world where his parents are blown up by concentrated evil. But
maybe it's all about my own fears and this fear of being abandoned by one's apparent parents. So the best thing to do is to learn how to live without them.
Now, if we can extend the metaphor and say, well, maybe the producers and the studio heads are your parents, and you're worried about them pulling out of your films.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Please, Ken. Leave me a little dignity.
See, now that's when a metaphor goes too far.
It's like my son, Harry, when he was about 12, and we live in Highgate, which is one of the, you know, the nicer parts of London, and just down the road, 100 meters away, are the shops. And at 12, he was frightened to walk down there because of what television did to him. He thought that was the world, you know, that there's rapes and murders and bombs and everything going off and then killings every couple inches down the road. And that's what scared me about television so much, that a kid could be that influenced by the onslaught of that medium. And so I suppose someone like Jeliza Rose is, I know she clearly watches television, because I think a lot of her ideas come from soap operas.
So basically the things that you would imagine her mother to spend her day begging.
Yeah,
out.
That's what I think she sees, but it's clear she reads as well. I mean, she, like Kevin, reads. They read. They're the ones that read. And in all my films, you know, it's about reading. That saves you, because it's probably the escape from the onslaught. The corporate onslaught that's out there.
But I find it's not about reading current material. It's not about reading magazines or reading...
No. That's
you know, a potboiler.
That might be television. It's about reading books, novels, the history in particular, because history, you know, I thought, didn't we get rid of history in America now? That's not taught in schools. It has no relevance. Elephants. It doesn't have...
I'm not sure. I don't remember. My attention span is nothing now.
There you go. Well, that's what all of us have been trained now. Luckily, I've got a mobile phone, which remembers everything for me.
Even tells you when to remember things.
Exactly. So history, I mean, America, it was so much against teaching history because it doesn't apply. And yet, that's all it does.
Terry, that's because we're forward thinkers.
Ah, yes.
Ever moving forward.
So was Pol Pot. Year zero. It's like that every day in America, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we keep hitting reset as much as possible.
Please check back next week for the next part of our Quickcast interview with Terry Gilliam. www.quickstopentertainment.com.